This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
So now, let us start the journey. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِفَتَاهُ لَا أَبْرَهُ حَتَّى أَبْلُغَ مَجْمَعَ الْبَحْرَيْنِ أَوْ أَمْضِيَ حُقُبًا فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَجْمَعَ بَيْنِهِمَا نَسِيَ حُوتَهُمَا فَاتَّخَذَ سَبِيلَهُ فِي الْبَحْرِ سَرَبًا فَلَمَّا جَاوَزَ قَالَ لِفَتَاهُ آتِنَا غَدَانَا لَقَدْ لَقِينَا مِنْ سَفَرِنَا هَذَا نَصَبًا قال رأيت إذا وينا إلى الصخرة فإني نسيت الحوت وما أنسانيه إلا الشيطان أن أذكره واتخذ سبيله في البحر عجبا قال ذلك ما كنا نبغي فارتدا على آثارهما قصصا فوجد عبدا من عبادنا آتيناه رحمة من عندنا وعلمناه من لدن علما قال له موسى هل أتبعك على أن تعلمني مما علمت رشدا قال إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا وكيف تصبر على ما لم تحط به خبرا قال ستجدني إن شاء الله صابرا ولا أعصي لك أمرا قال فإن اتبعتني فلا تسألني عن شيء حَتَّى أُحْدِثَ لَكَ مِنْهُ ذِكْرًا. So that's ayahs 60 to 70. This is the first part that we want to talk about. So essentially, Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his young servant, I shall journey in my quest of knowledge. Now, because he heard that somebody knows, I shall journey in my quest of knowledge until I reach Majmal Bahrain, where the two seats meet. And then he said, though I may keep traveling for ages, in other words, or Amdiya Huqaba, if I don't reach there, I don't meet him, I will keep traveling for ages. Huqab means 70 to 80 years. Even if I have to travel that much, I will keep traveling. In other words, this teaches us the sincere seekers of knowledge, what they're willing to do. And that he set this condition right up front with this young lad, Yusha bin Nun. He says, we are going to go and we're going to travel wherever. And if indeed it is there, then you travel from the Holy Land all the way across North Africa to get there. Okay. If we have to travel years, we will travel where the two seas meet. But when they reached the junction between the two seas, so they came to a place where two seas met. And of course, what happened? They slept. They came to this rock and Musa alayhi salam and Yusha alayhi salam slept. Perhaps Yusha alayhi salam woke up a little earlier because he witnessed something. So when they reached the junction between the two seas, they forgot their fish because they were too tired. And the fish miraculously came to life. And it made its way out of that basket into the sea in a very wondrous way. So they woke up and Musa alayhi salam said, let's continue. Now, Yusha alayhi salam has seen this, okay? And he forgets to talk about it to Musa alayhi salam. That's very interesting. We'll come to that, right? So what do they do? So after that, they get up, they proceed ahead. And this was in the night time. They travel all night, all day next day till Dhuhr time. Imagine. They proceeded ahead, far ahead of that point for some distance. And Musa alayhi salam, the tough messenger who killed people just by pushing them, he gets tired. And he says to his servant, bring us our ghada and our food. Because indeed we have become very worn out and tired in this. In safarina hadha, this journey has really fatigued us. Musa alayhi salam is fatigued. That young boy must have been dying from this. So Musa alayhi salam says, bring us our food, our midday meal. Now, this young man says, to him, "Do you recall when we betook ourselves to that rock, when we rested there?" There, he said, "I forgot the fish." And then he says, "And none but Shaitan made me forget it and made me to forget to mention it to you." He said, "I saw it took its way into the sea in a strange and wondrous way." Ajaba. Because first of all, it was dead. It came to life. And there's a narration that there was a stream there, which is called Ainul Hayat, of life. And some of its water, in one narration, it said that Yusha alayhi salam did wudu and some of the water fell on the fish. And it came, but it was going to happen anyway, because he was told that you're going to lose your fish in some place. And it went in a strange way. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah made the sea stop. So it was like a tunnel in the sea, and like an arch it went into it like this. He traveled like this, and he did something like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says that, "I forgot to tell you." Okay, "I forgot to tell you." So what is Musa alayhi salam's response? Now, what, first of all, think what would have happened if we were in Musa alayhi salam's place and our son was with us, and he knew what he was supposed to tell us, and he made us travel for 10, 12 hours in the desert, and now he says, "I forgot." What would be our response? Musa alayhi salam does not say a single word of reproach. And this is how the Anbiya Rasul were. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was the same way. He had this Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu. As a young boy, he said, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he said, "I served Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam for 10 years. And he never asked me, 'Why did you do this or why did you not do this?'" This is, you know, this teaches us, as you know, when we have people under our control, especially like our children and all, how to treat them. Okay. So Musa alayhi salam says, "That is the place, that is the sign that we have been looking for." And so they turned back. Ala atharihim, in their, what footprints they had left, qasasa, repeating, go all the way back to where they. Now when they got there, they saw where the rock where they had slept, there was a man sitting there, sleeping. According to this hadith in Bukhari, he was covered with some cloth, and Musa alayhi salam greeted him with assalamu alaikum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there, فَوَجَدَ عَبْدًا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and there they found, وَجَدَ, the two of them found, one of our servants, on whom we had bestowed our mercy, Allah, and whom we had endowed with knowledge of our own, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Now Musa alayhi salam, as we said, greeted him, and they had that salam, "Where did you get this from? You are Musa, you are..." So Musa alayhi salam said to him, now Musa alayhi salam has a higher rank, he says to him, "May I follow you?" He's asking permission. He's not commanding, you know, "I am Musa of Bani Israel, I am going to be with you to learn from you." Okay. Teaching us adab of a student from the teacher. Okay. He says, and Musa alayhi salam's personality was a very exuberant and that kind of a personality. So for him to say this, "May I follow you? May I follow you on the understanding that you will teach me some of the wisdom and that rushda, that right guidance that Allah has taught you. Can I accompany you so that you can teach me?" So he responded, which is Al-Khidr, Qadr, responded, he said, "You will not have, innaka la tastati'a maya sabra." He didn't say you will not have patience. He said, you will not have the capacity or the ability to have patience with me. Patience enough with me. And then he himself makes an excuse for Musa alayhi salam. That's again, not putting him down, you won't have this. Then he ennobles him by saying, "And how can you have that patience? Because what you're about to see is something of which you've been given no knowledge, no news. So it's not expected that you would have this kind of knowledge." So that way, the teacher also tells him, already makes an excuse for his impatience ahead of time, that you are going to see, in other words, you are the keeper of the law. You are going to experience some things that you will not understand. And you have a responsibility to uphold the law. So he's saying, I don't think you'll be able to do that. You won't be able to handle it. So he said that. So Musa alayhi salam says to him, and how can you be patient with something of which you cannot fully comprehend? Musa alayhi salam says, Insha'Allah, you will find me patient. And I shall not disobey your command in anything. Interesting thing is, Satajiduni insha'Allahu sabir. He said, you will inshallah find me sabir. And then he says, and I will not disobey you in anything. So does this inshallah cover the second part? Or is it only the first part that I will be patient? Okay. So this is what he says. So Khidr alayhi salam then makes his condition. Okay, he said, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to accompany me, do not question me about anything I do until I tell you the reason myself. This is the condition. So the teacher set the condition, the student accepted the condition. Now it is said, Imam Bukhari said that Musa alayhi salam is the first person to travel for seeking knowledge. And that is one of the great things that we are taught to do. Look at the Sahaba, look at how people travel for hundreds of miles on feet for one hadith. That Musa alayhi salam started the sunnah of traveling to find, to seek knowledge. The first one to do a hijrah for knowledge. And that was later taken up by all the serious seekers of knowledge. And as we know, there are great rewards for traveling to seek knowledge of our deen. And there are many hadith. And there are many rewards, including that all the creation, even the fish in the ocean, make dua forgiveness for a person who leaves his house to seek knowledge. And which includes all of you, because you left your house to come here, even that, with the right intention. All the creation is doing dua for your forgiveness. And then, when you think of the traveling at that time, you think of Musa alayhi salam leaving his home, traveling long distance, and this was on foot, through the heat, through the deserts, and through all of that, and willing to travel, as he said, for a huqab, if he has to. So the fish, what's the story of the fish? The fish was given as a sign to Musa alayhi salam, and as we said, it escaped in a very special way. Now, as I had mentioned, Yusha alayhi salam saw this extraordinary thing happen. Let's call it a mu'jaza because Nabi is involved, otherwise let's call it a karama. Would you, if you saw that thing, a dead fish suddenly jump out of there and go into the ocean, the water stops and it goes in like this, would you forget? So one possibility is that Yusha alayhi salam had been with Musa alayhi salam for so long, he had seen so many mu'jizat that it wasn't such a big deal that he forgot. Because he had seen many things. He had seen the parting of the Red Sea. He had seen other things. Okay. So there's one possibility. More likely, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him forget it because he wanted Musa alayhi salam to travel even further. Now why did he want him to go so far? To teach him the importance of the knowledge, to venerate the knowledge. This is how important the knowledge is. He could have stopped him right there. They could have found the fish. I would be there. Okay. Go, come back, double. Now, sometimes we miss an exit. How irritated do we get that we have to go to the next exit, make a U-turn, come back. He's on foot. He's going miles and miles and coming back. Okay. And he did not reprimand Yusha alayhi salam for forgetting. So, obviously, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him forget. Now, look at the adab of Yusha alayhi salam. He does not say that this is the decree of Allah. Allah made me forget. Because these messengers, and we should learn, never attribute anything that has a negative connotation to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though they know it's from Allah. Ayyub alayhi salam, when he's all the diseases, what does he say? He knows they're coming from Allah. He said, Shaitan masiyana durr has touched me with sickness. Ibrahim alayhi salam, idha maridtu fahuwa yashfin. When I fall sick, Allah cures me. He doesn't say the sickness also comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Yusha says, Shaitan made me do this. Okay. Attribute something that appears to be negative to other than Allah. So this is the adab. So now about Al-Khidr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as Abdam min ibadina, a slave from our slaves. Our slaves, this is special, we're all, but calls him that. Abdam, as we said, it's indefinite, which means it's a way of ennoblement. And then he uses, again, we gave him rahma, not ar-rahma. Again, means a lot of it. And ilm, again, indefinite, which tells us that he was given something very special. Now, why rahma and ilm? Because the two are necessary. If you have only knowledge and you don't have rahmah, you become a tyrant, you become arrogant, you become very tough with people, okay? You're not flexible, you know, this is how it is. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran that had you been harsh with them, they would have run away from you, the companions. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people rahmah so that they can be gentle with people, teach them with gentleness, with flexibility within the limits of the law. And so rahmah as a prerequisite of knowledge is very important to get rid of arrogance, rigidity, harshness, intolerance, inflexibility. But suppose you have only rahmah and no knowledge, then anything goes. My mercy, my mercy, my mercy. What do you want to do? No problem. So you need to have knowledge. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this great combination. So if we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for knowledge, we should always ask, Ya Allah, give me rahmah with it so that I know what to properly use it. And if I'm going to teach people, if Allah used me to teach people, to use it in that way. And as we said, we should again remind ourselves of the etiquette of Musa alayhi salam in seeking permission to accompany him, a person of higher rank, that he lowered himself. And then a very important part of seeking knowledge is that true knowledge is learned by suhba, by companionship. Okay, that's why the sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam became the sahaba, the best of generation, because of being in his companionship. That's why they were devastated when Allah took him. And they felt like orphans because he was their spiritual father, and they were with them all the time. They used to go home, they used to come running back, Ya Allah, can't take it. Going to their homes, that I don't feel the same as I'm with you. That's suhbah. So that companionship is very important. For good companionship, as we know, you're birds of a feather flock together, and you'll be raised with your companion, and you'll be judged with them, and you're identified by them. But in knowledge cannot be, this kind of knowledge cannot be acquired by books. And some of the scholars have said that a person who only learns the knowledge of deen from books will learn more wrong than right, because you are reading it. You don't know if you've interpreted it correctly. You don't know if you've understood it. So it has to be learned from a scholar. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called the scholars as Warathatul Anbiya, the inheritors of the messenger. So you take from them, you take from your shuyukh, you take from the real teachers, okay? So suhba, companionship, because here you experience, you're observing your teacher. How this situation happens, what does he do? How does he handle it? You know, under different stressful situations, by observing. And this has always been our tradition. The Quran was learned from people, from each other, not from books. It wasn't memorized from. That's why we're having struggling with memorizing it from books. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite it, they used to hear, and they were so anxious. He's reciting, I better memorize it in my head. I don't want to lose it. So, and as we said, the teacher sets the condition. So what did he know about Musa alayhi salam that he said right at the beginning that you will not be able to have patience with me? Well, he knew Musa alayhi salam was the messenger of Bani Israel. But he knew that Musa alayhi salam has been charged to uphold the sacred law, the Sharia, in which there is halal and haram and major sins and minor sins and all of those things. And that the actions he knew, what he was going to be doing, would appear on the surface to contradict that sacred law, the Sharia. Okay? So, Musa alayhi salam, as the messenger charged to uphold that law, how can he tolerate that? Okay? So he knew that, and therefore he said what he said. And that's why he said, and how could you have patience with that which of which you have no knowledge, or your knowledge does not encompass? And therefore, the things of the hidden world, what is the real meaning of some event that we face in our life, is known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals that knowledge. And we are charged to observe the sacred law. We can't do things like that. Okay? Only under Allah's command can somebody go and kill somebody, as the story goes. We can't just say, you know, we have to follow. For us, murder is one of the greatest crime that you can commit against another. Okay. So now the conditions are set. Musa alayhi salam has made a promise. What did he say? He himself made the promise. What? I will have sabr with you and he said, don't ask me. He agreed to those conditions. Now they set out. Now the journey starts from there. Okay. So these ayahs that we are going to read now are from ayah 71 to 78. فانطلق حتى إذا ركب في السفينة خرقها قال خرقتها لتغرق أهلها لقد جئت شيئا إمرا قال ألم أقل إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال لا تؤاخذني بما نسيت ولا ترهقني من أمري عسرا فانطلق حتى إذا لقي غلاما فقتله قال قتلت نفسا زكية بغير نفس لقد جئت شيئا نكرا قال ألم أقل لك إنك لن تستطيع معي صبرا قال إن سألتك عن شيء بعدها فلا تصاحبني قد بلغت من لدني عذرا فانطلقا حتى إذا أتيا أهل قرية استطعما أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما فوجدا فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض فأقامه قال لو شئت لاتخذت عليه أجرا قال هذا فراق بيني وبينك سأنبئك بتأويل ما لم تستطع عليه صبرا.